like an episode of the primetime melodrama Empire, the case of Jussie Smollett has everyone hanging on the edge of their seat, wondering, was he or wasn't he a victim of a hate crime?
Out gay African-American actor Jussie Smollett from the TV series Empire maintains he was the victim of a brutal hate crime in late January, but the Chicago police have charged him with filing a false report to gain sympathy and to get a raise.
Progressive comedian and political commentator Trevor Noah says that despite the Chicago police history of murder, cover-ups, and illegal detentions, the public should believe them because they have no stake in whether Jussie is lying or not. And no matter what the outcome, they still get to arrest a black man.
Today, comedian Matt Brown joins us to take a look at the complicated case of Jussie Smollett and how race, sexual identity, celebrity, and fascism intertwine to make for one hell of a case.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people like you. Thank you. Right now, we need your help. After many years of creating podcasts and videos you love, our dear computer can't take it anymore and is ready to go to the great big recycling bin in the sky. It is heartbreaking to be in this situation.
Visit GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer right now and give any amount. Help us reach our goal of saving the show's podcasting computer. Every dollar you give goes directly into making Feast of Fun last for years to come. We know we can count on you to make a big difference and continue the show. Thank you for loving Feast of Fun.
Thank you very much. Once again, the link is GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer.
Our guest today is always the fierce and fabulous Matt Brown, who has a lot to say about Jussie Smollett.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like all gay biracial people have to like keep tracks on each other. Like, I don't know. Other ethnicities have their own shit. You've heard of Jewish geography.
What's
like,
that?
You know, it's like all Jewish people know each other, like throughout the world. Like, you know, if you know like five Jewish people in Chicago and then, you know, someone in like Detroit, Michigan and LA somehow through like two other people, they'll know each other.
Well, we used to say that in my hometown of Erie where I grew up is like all the black people in town know each other.
Well, and their cousins and related somehow.
Well, if you're gay, it's a small community. If you're black and gay, it's even smaller.
Oh, big time, big time. So Jussie and I got to keep tabs on each other. I knew about this before TMZ and Fox News.
That's the way it was with us.
Like, I just got a text message
when I first heard the
like
news
the slaves
about
did
it.
When the Emancipation Proclamation came out.
Where were you when you heard the news that Jussie Smollett had been attacked by two men wearing Make America Great Again hats, MAGA hats, and they had poured bleach and had a noose on him, and it was like this hate crime. Where were you when you heard the news?
I don't remember where I was exactly because I kind of felt like this wasn't exactly like the JFK assassination, so I wasn't going to need to remember my exact location. It wasn't like that level on historiosity, but I don't know. I think afterwards, because it happened during the polar vortex here, right?
I was on my lunch break, and I was reading the news, and I thought to myself, that's really unusual for Chicago's Streeterville. Which is, you know, for people not familiar with this neighborhood, it's a very well-to-do.
C'est très affluent.
And they were sort of the people that were attacking him, according to Jussie's own statement, were saying, like, you're the gay actor from Empire. And I'm like, Trump supporters watch Empire? so it wasn't clicking in my head, and I was like, this doesn't add up.
And who walks around, you know, listen, I've gone out at 2 o'clock in the morning looking for a foot long. I really have.
I'm sure, baby. I am sure.
But we didn't want to talk about, we were hesitant to talk about it on the podcast.
Yes.
Why?
Because there was just so much in the air about it. We didn't really know. And a lot of people were just like, they were jumping to conclusions, saying it's this way, it's that way, it has to be that way. And people were so like, convinced it was this way or that way. And I'm just kind of like, why can't you just kind of like just sit back, you know, take in some more facts, look at what's happening. Why do you have to jump in and become, you know, this is my opinion. Even now, it's like right now, we still don't even know everything that's going on. So I feel even right now, is it still too early to talk about it?
Do you feel like sort of your position in like the I'm not 100% secure in how to talk about this, but comes from like the intersection of the fact that it is like both like a black issue and a gay issue and like an entertainment issue.
And
like
a Chicago cop issue. And, you know, a Make America Great issue.
For people who are not familiar with the reputation of the Chicago police, who may have just started listening to the podcast that we do.
And they have just recently moved out from under a rock.
Is that Chicago police are famous for, with the cooperation of Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who's not running for a second term or third term because of this cover up. They covered up the murder of Laquan McDonald. Is a young black man who was unarmed and shot by the police.
And the police officer who shot him and killed him is now in jail, was recently beat up in jail too. His wife went on to be like, please, you know, have some mercy on my husband. He's getting beaten up.
Yeah, which, by the way, which completely, that press conference blew me, because it's like, okay, so you think this is the first cop that got arrested, thrown up, and got his ass beat on day two? Are you that stupid? Did you never listen to anything he told you about how this job works? Like, how moronic are you? And then when you add everything else past that, like, on being a cop alone, he was going to get his teeth knocked out.
Well, she's hoping to get some sympathy from people who also hate black people.
The same people who want Roseanne to come back on her TV show, I think.
So, also, Chicago police are, you know, besides its long history of being sort of corrupt and complicated, most recently, Zach Stafford, who it went from being a regular guest here on the podcast to becoming the editor-in-chief of Into, Grindr's
attempt
at doing LGBT, doing Feast of Fun. Just kidding. Well, but then he's now working for The Advocate as their editor-in-chief. He was covering Home and Square, the secret prison that the Chicago police were making about 7,000 people as of 2015 disappear and are still running this place.
And we also, you know, when I first moved here in the 90s, there was a sergeant, I think it's Berg, who had basically a torture chamber set up. And now with this, you know, state of Illinois has said, we're not going to have the death penalty anymore. I'm giving everybody, you know, clemency for that because there's so many people who are on death row, and they just feel like the charges against them were just like made up by the police. And, like, it almost seems like every month there's somebody that's been exonerated for some 20-year crime. They're getting like $1 million payout, $2 million payout. And these are people that were arrested when they're 17, 18, and now they're 40, 50 years old, and they're finally getting out in freedom from these, you know, corrupt police officers.
And like the way that destroys a community, and the way that specifically destroys a black community, that's why I asked you if you felt uncomfortable about it, talking about the intersection of it, because since it does cover so many things, you don't want to step on the wrong community.
I don't really feel like I'm going to, I feel like I'm going to step on anybody, but I just feel like I don't want to, you know, it's just, it's confusing, and I don't want to misrepresent something and then be like, oh, it's like, it's, I'm going to present it like this is how it is. And then like a week later, be like, that's not how it is at all. You're an idiot.
So you can understand our skepticality when it comes to talking about Jussie's case. And part of it is also, you know, the police are, I guess Trevor Noah from The Daily Show is saying that the Chicago police have nothing, no stake in the situation. But you can also argue that they may have a stake in the situation, is that they're trying to repair a broken public relations image that they have.
Absolutely.
So they're sort of trying to, you know, the Fraternal Order of Chicago Police supported Trump in the last election. So, you know, these are the same people who are now turning to Jussie's case, which may be fabricated still in nonetheless, but they also baited him. If they were skeptical, they didn't believe that he was likely in this scenario, that he had staged this crime, they certainly gave him plenty of rope to hang himself by leading him on.
Basically.
Bought at the Crafty Beaver. or is it the Busy Beaver?
It was the Crafty Beaver.
The Crafty Beaver.
The Crafty Beaver.
Yeah, so the t-shirts that you buy from our store that are made in-house, some of the components to make that t-shirt were actually bought at the same store.
That's amazing.
You can own a piece of history at feastoffun.com /store. So Jussie Smollett right now is still saying that he is the victim of a crime. He is not backing down. He turned himself in to cooperate with investigations because the investigations are now accusing him of committing a crime of fraud.
he must have really shitty lawyers, because, like, honestly, if you are really, really that steadfast in maintaining your innocence, mm-hmm. you're not going to just turn yourself in to cooperate with the investigation. You're going to spend $300,000 on lawyers to be able to get the interrogation done in your home. Like, if you believe you're that innocent, you will really spend every fucking penny to make sure it happens. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. If you put on the orange jumpsuit and go and do the perp walk, you know you did something wrong.
Well, he hasn't put on the orange jumpsuit. You just go down there because they, you know, they have to charge you or something, don't they? You have to. I think that's very common to turn yourself in.
So Jussie allegedly paid two of his co-stars from the TV show Empire, two Nigerian out-of-work actors, to attack him and pose as Trump supporters. These are two very muscular, attractive Nigerian black men.
They don't make them any other way in Nigeria, if you've been there. They're all muscular and attractive and black. There's just no other variation on that.
And I guess the according to what I've read, is that the Nigerian brothers are saying they were paid by Jussie.
Mm-hmm.
But Jussie Smollett just 3 hours ago said he has evidence that disputes those allegations, that the brothers were paid $3,500 through PayPal or Venmo.
I think it was through a check, but it was for it was for services rendered for training.
When's the last time either of you whipped out a checkbook? When is the last time either of you paid for anything with an actual check? Because the only thing I pay for, it's with my rent. Why is he paying a trainer?
I don't use checks anymore.
You do have checks.
You should have
them, but like to use them for
safety and security reasons, we do not use checks anymore. You should not use checks.
Mm-mm.
Period.
So what kind of 1993 PayPal, banking Venmo, advice was Jussie getting?
Well, American Express.
They just wanted anything with a routing number on it. Just that was the whole goal.
So the police and the prosecutors say the check dated January 23rd is
my birthday.
Happy birthday. Finally
21. So Osundario and Ola Binjo carried out the hoax.
They sound like they got big dicks.
You know they do. Now, what if they tag team people together for the right prize?
Oh, I got more than $3,500 for that.
So I guess the evidence weighing in Jussie's favor is a series of texts between them that talks about a healthy meal plan, including chicken thighs, Starkist tuna, eggs, and Smucker's peanut. Notice all the brand names that they're putting in this. Smucker's peanut butter. It's sponsored by.
Why? Go-Gurt. That's what I read it too. I was like, why is Smucker's peanut butter?
Because
why
this investigation butter? Is a big plant, and it's also sponsored by Squarespace and RuPaul. That's also. It's a conspiracy. There's a one world government. I'm sure it's all connected.
Is Smucker's like a preferred like peanut butter of black people or something?
Well, I thought Smucker's was jelly. So I didn't Smucker's even know they make peanut butter.
I gotta say, first of all, please go buy some Smucker's peanut butter. It is delicious.
The
all natural one.
But the Smucker's blackberry jelly will literally make you have a prostate orgasm.
Oh, honey, I'm just loving Smucker's. When I think about police brutality, I turn to Smucker's peanut butter. The best peanut butter there is.
Now, when this thing first happened, were you immediately skeptical? Because I have to say, a lot of my friends on Facebook were immediately just like, oh my God, I don't believe this. Something's not adding up here. Something's not right.
I believed the headline on the side of it until I saw that it happened inside the city of Chicago in the date range that they were saying it happened. Mm. On the headline alone, because like I didn't know too much about Jussie. Like, I mean, he's an actor on Empire, but I also knew he did music. So like if this happened to him, like after some sort of like stage gig, whatever, like a live show that he was doing music at in like, you know, the middle of wherever, then I would have a little bit more like, okay, this could happen. But here in the middle of the night in the polar vortex, the way he described it, no one was fucking outside. Mm. Nobody was outside during those 2 days. I was in the Ukrainian village with my boyfriend in his apartment having sex. Okay. No one was outdoors during the polar vortex. It was negative 50.
And especially those MAGA hats don't keep you warm.
No, your ears are exposed.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there were not MAGA hats. There were just red caps.
So they're like the St. Louis Cardinals.
And that's the other thing too, is like, did Jussie say that
your dog.
My dog. I know. Mm. I should just call him Mr. Smollett. Did Mr. Smollett say that like they were MAGA hats or just red hats or to be costumed?
Well, the story
they
kept
were MAGA
moving.
Hats, you know what I mean?
Well, the story kept moving because I think once he was out for some other reason and then he invented a Subway sandwich and then it just kept building.
So where do we go from here at this point? It seems like a lot of progressive news media like Trevor Noah is taking the side that this is probably a hoax staged by the actor to, you know, to try to, it's kind of a Munchausen syndrome, to get sympathy by staging illness or himself as a victim of some calamity.
If you, I could understand all of this if he wasn't 37 and didn't have an agent. Someone could negotiate for him at any moment in time if he wanted a raise. Like, I just don't understand.
You know, Lee Daniels is like, after Monique, he's just like, I don't have to pay any of you bitches. I didn't pay her. I'm not paying you.
He gave Taraji like a fucking bucket of chicken and said, be grateful. Sit down, bitch. Be humble. Mary Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what happened.
Or the other possibility that the police, once again, Chicago police, not being very trustworthy, are, you know, using this to try to paint President Trump as a victim of hoaxes, and that all this framing the Republican Party as a racist organization is just conspiracy.
Well, I do think that, like, the power structure as it exists right now does definitely benefit from shit like this, because the story gets big, you find out it's not real, but everyone's still invested in it, and your whole sort of reality, right, wrong, did happen, didn't happen, motivation stuff, all that shit becomes skewed. And in this sort of new logic that Trump's trying to create, like, I mean, I don't think he actually gives a shit, but, like, it does indirectly benefit him.
Yeah. I'm just wondering how can we support the right people in the situation? And part of it is, like, you know, when you see so many trans women of color in this country being brutally murdered and there's no public outcry or interest in their stories.
Like, Laverne Cox and Janet Mock can only do so much. Like,
I'm just a little bit unnerved by the way we're handling this, and I feel a little bit helpless to talk about this in a in a way that's significant.
I mean, it is really, really hard, because, you know, when you do cross between so many different communities, you end up being ignored by a lot of them because no one knows how to handle you. No one knows how to handle you. Because if he was white and an actor on a popular TV show and then said this happened to him, the believability would have gone up a little bit more. Then the black thing brought it down. Then the black community didn't have his back as much because he'd been openly gay for the past couple of years. And then there was also, you know, some other stuff that's going on with that. So it's like these constant going between everything's, and just like, oh, the entertainment community has its back. But then there, you know, there's just so many other things that constantly go between whatever your stance is, wherever, like, your standpoint is. You have no advancement, really.
And TMZ is also saying that he says that he's addicted to ecstasy.
The actor, Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse as well is addicted to ecstasy.
So his pupils were like this big the whole time. Done this.
But the other thing, though, too, is, like, can you get addicted to ecstasy?
Is it 2002? What? I'm so, like, what fucking imaginary club in, like, a time travel situation is he going to?
It's still Molly now, right?
I cannot imagine.
And that's the thing, though, too, is, like, how long can you do ecstasy? Can you do ecstasy every day for, like, months? I don't think you can. I think it would just...
It drains you.
It would really, really drain you.
Okay, so his brain stem's about to fall out of his ass. Give him a week. Then we won't have to worry about it.
What do you guys think?
I think you wanted to get caught.
I'm still feeling like Jesse's innocent about this.
I have a feeling that if it is fake, he wanted to get caught, because this way he can go, like, tell everything he needs to tell, like, go into witness protection, and then come out the other side and just say he's Dominican. I think that's really... I think that's what
Mark, he's doing. Somebody else.
You've watched a lot of Law and Order, you're practically...
I'm a paralegal.
Yeah, so... how's Jesse's case ring for you?
Well, I still don't know. I don't know how it's going to decide. In the end, he still is denying it. And so part of me is just like, you know, when somebody says they're a victim, you want to believe them. I mean, there's a lot of really weird stuff about this case, so I'm absolutely fascinated by it. And yet, if he is just making it up, I would imagine that there's probably a mental health issue there.
On top of the ecstasy.
Or, you know, there's a mental health issue there. Maybe he is just doing it for attention. That also could just be, you know, there's a lot of people, especially now with social media, that do a lot of crazy shit for attention. You know, you look at how many people have put out, like, a sex tape because they want to get famous. You know, maybe this is his version of a sex tape.
I would rather watch a sex tape with him.
Well, people ask us when we're putting out a sex tape, and I'm just like,
come over. That's not really
telling. I'll send you something.
I'm like, I just don't want to think of myself, you know, in that world as, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I guess I'm just wondering, like, at what point do you decide in your life? And every gay man has to answer that question. Am I going to be a porn star or a stripper?
Well, the attractive ones. Okay, let's go ahead.
The ugly ones ask themselves.
Even that, everybody.
Well, yeah, but no one else is asking them to think about it. No. So
have you ever asked yourself that question?
Oh, no one wants to fucking see that.
But you've asked yourself, should I do this? Can I do this?
No,
you've
not
never
once.
Contemplated it.
No, I've always relied on having a legitimate intellectual talent.
The kindness of strangers.
Basically, I don't know. No, I trained to be an opera singer from 11 on up, and then comedy at 18. I've lived my life as an artist. I never thought about selling my hole. I just wanted to be smart and get
you
people to like me.
You had this amazing night where you know, Jussie Smollett's news is also eclipsing everything. You had this amazing night last night where you did a half an hour set opening for
Chris Redd.
Chris Redd from Saturday Night Live.
Yes, Emmy Award winning Chris Redd.
What characters is Chris best known for on Saturday Night Live?
I don't really watch. To
You're
be
like,
honest.
Who are you?
Yeah, no, I don't watch. I would have been excited to open for him, period, because back when he was living here in Chicago, he was a solid ass headliner before he got picked up to be on SNL 2 years ago. But no, he won an Emmy there. He writes a lot there. He has a ton of characters that are really moving well over there. And he was in that Andy Samberg movie where Andy Samberg had his booty out. I love Andy Samberg. But
but he's a rising star on Saturday Night
Yes. So. Chris Redd's doing fabulous right now.
So he saw you perform and said,
yeah,
I want you to be on Saturday Night Live and here's $50 million.
Absolutely. I'm going to be doing Joy Behar on next week's Weekend Update. What's this? Who cares?
This is exciting though. Like you're getting noticed by some A-listers.
No, it was a ton of fun because this is the whole situation. I wasn't even booked on the show. I had a friend who just moved to the city a month ago and he got booked his first show in Chicago. So I wanted to go and support him and like be a nice friend. And so
it was very generous of you to be able to do that.
I know. I do my best. I just give until it hurts. And so I went to go see my friend Chris and I saw his set. The show was going really well. I was just getting a drink or two, talking to people.
You're calling him your friend Chris?
Yes, my friend Chris Clatis.
Who have no idea what he plays on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, fuck you. He'll get there eventually. When they're booking half white, half Arab people, he'll be in. But so I went to go see my friend Chris's show, and then the show was going on. It was a lot of fun. And then the producers, who I both know pretty well, Merritt Landsteiner and Brand Rickett, they're like, Chris is running kind of late. I know you weren't booked. I know you weren't planning on going. Do you think you could just get on stage until he gets here? Because they knew I could go as long as...
You're the queen of winging it.
I'm the queen of winging it. They knew I could go as long as I needed to. They knew I could fucking pull out all the stops and just go as long as necessary.
I rarely have ever seen stand-up comedians be able to stretch an audience as Eddie Murphy has, and you are certainly one of those people who has that.
Thank you. Thank you. Because, I had no expectation of how much time I was going to do, because he was at the Laugh Factory, which is in Lakeview, and then he was coming to this bar that was in Lincoln Park. It's only one neighborhood away, but depending on if you're taking an Uber pool or the train or whatever's going on, you could get there in 10 minutes, you could get there in, 40. You never know what's going to go on.
Did he get to see some of your acts?
Yes, he did. He saw, my last two jokes in my closer.
Okay. What were those jokes?
You're not going to give it away for free. Go to mattbrowncomic.com or come to...
What was the premise of the joke?
My closing bit is about how much I love straight men because basically I scare them and I can do whatever I want. And so I can do something much worse than cry my way out of a traffic ticket than a woman. I can get it. I can go a little deeper.
How deep?
I noticed you're wearing these gorgeous false eyelashes.
They're number 747Ls.
They're real because they're on your body.
Basically, I paid for them. Paid for them.
They belong to you.
Yeah.
You need to crimp them.
I like a little lift. Lift.
You need to curl
them. I have a crimper you can borrow.
We were talking about the show last night.
Yeah.
So I had absolutely no idea I was going to get on stage. I had no preparation of what's going to happen. They didn't even tell me how much time to expect for. I did 28 minutes just off my ass. I had no idea what was going on. They just lit me and was like, can you do another five? He's going to be here soonish. He just texted us back. And then I just went going and kept going and kept going.
And then
going.
The flashlight comes.
The flashlight comes and I saw him in the back. And then I got off stage. I did my closer. I got off stage. And then when he was waiting to go up, when the host was bringing him up, Chris came up to me and he was just like, you had really good stuff, man. Thank you for holding for me. And then he ran on stage and murdered.
And gave you a little little tongue kiss?
Actually, just in my butthole. Like, it wasn't on the face. I pulled my pants down really fast. And I was just like, tell me you mean it.
That's a real hero.
Like, I know, right? I know,
he's
right?
A people person.
He really
is. He gets back to community.
And I'm a pee hole person. So, like, it just, it goes back and forth.
I don't know. It's just like, right now, there's so much coming down the pipe. It's hard to handle it right now. So, the Oscars is happening tonight.
Yeah.
Without a host.
No host.
And we're going to do a separate podcast on this, but just in a nutshell, the Oscars right now are the lowest ratings in the history of the awards ceremony.
Why can't Melissa Rivers host it?
She's not her mother, basically.
I want Melissa or Monique. That's who I want to host.
I think Monique should have hosted. She should have gotten it. I've been pushing for Monique, and God damn it, in a perfect world, she would have done it. But instead, Kevin Hart fucked it up for everybody, and now no one's hosting the Oscars. At the lowest ratings of the history of the award ceremony, it's also the highest amount of money spent by the movie studios to market these films to win these awards.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's still saying that even though no one necessarily is watching as much as they used to watch the Oscars, there's certainly the value of winning those awards or being nominated for the awards are still at an all-time
high. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, it's just like the economy here. Our money isn't actually worth anything, but we're still America, so everyone wants to come here and see what happens. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Our money is still worth something.
Barely. The economy is going to crash in 15 seconds. I blame the yellow bastard. I can't stand Donald Trump. It's totally him. All those
things.
When my refund doesn't come this year, because you know he's fucked up the taxes so hard.
Yeah,
so hard.
Not for the wealthy. Well, it'll trickle down to you eventually.
They're pissing in my mouth. That is all the trickle I'm getting.
Don't pee on my foot and tell me it's rain,
Judge Judy. The only one who can judge me is Judge Judy at
RuPaul. And Jesus.
Well, I mean, I'll get to him. I'll get to him.
So anyways, there's rumors that Whoopi Goldberg's going to come in at the last second.
No, she has pneumonia.
So she's not there. Isn't she in New York right now?
Well, she wasn't even on The View.
She didn't get on the plane. Sick. Yeah. So it's going to happen.
They pay her real money to be on The View.
It might be the sickness, might be a cover up that she's preparing for the Oscars.
What if like Kathy Griffin storms the Oscars and just like takes back and she's like, I'm here now. I'm hosting. Hi. How are you? Oh yeah. That would be so much fun.
Oh, that was a cute meme I saw something about Kathy Griffin. Who knew that just this one moment could ruin my career? And then it said, Jesse goes, hold my bleach.
Donald Trump Jr. tweeted that.
Oh, did
Donald
really?
Trump Jr. tweeted that. Oh, God. He looks like Eddie Munster.
Oh, my God.
He looks like Eddie fucking Munster with that hairline. I can't.
Meanwhile, I don't know what word, regressive gay media. So, in old days, we used to call these kind of gay people, they were like assimilationists.
Yeah.
That didn't necessarily understand the value and the power of the unique experience of being LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm. They just wanted gay people to be just like everybody else, just normal Americans.
And if they wouldn't have spit in our hair in the seventh grade. Okay, we're not the same.
So these individuals use expressions like, I am just a accountant who happens to be gay. Mm-hmm. And those little boys and girls that nobody liked grew up to, some of them, to becoming editors and writers for gay publications.
Yeah.
And so now they're sort of always looking for some type of clickbait to try to get people to justify the advertising dollars in their blogs and stuff. Which is part of the reason why, people are like, why does a Feast of Fun get written about more? And it's like, because we don't pay them off. Well, no, we have a very different perspective. We're very progressive. We're very grassroots oriented. Mm-hmm. And some of the people who are in these kind of decision-making positions, they see us as a threat for them.
Here's a great 90s example. Based. They're just very 90s, but they never got out of that version of LGBT movement.
Mm. Well, maybe so. But if you look at the way they're handling Dolly Parton's latest interview in a tabloid...
Ugh.
They're saying one blog says, the headline says, Dolly Parton just slammed non-binary and pansexual people.
Which is completely not even what happened if you read the interview. That's such clickbait.
Another one says, this was from Atlanta, Georgia. Dolly Parton calls pansexuality, bisexuality, and gender fluidity a hoax.
Absolutely not what she said.
Dolly Parton says non-binary identities are fashionable. Let's actually read
what she said. Which, before we get into that,
Dolly Parton's voice, though?
Oh, I have a good Southern accent. I lived in Kentucky till I was six. I have a good Southern accent. Don't make me come over your shoulder.
So she was in this a tabloid publication. Says she believes that she would have been a drag queen because I love all the flamboyant stuff, y'all.
Well, look at her.
And even if she had been born male, but she's not quite sure about non-binary and bisexual identity, because according to one press, she says, this is the actual quote: "For me, I'm still an old timer. Sometimes I think it's just become kind of fashionable to speak out like that, labeling yourself as non-binary. I think some of them even say more than who they really are. For example, I don't really know how they feel inside. I know how I feel inside. And for my goddaughter, Miley Cyrus, she does a lot of that stuff for effect. And I think a lot of them do. Miley Cyrus came out as gender-neutral, sexually fluid person in a 2017 interview with Billboard magazine, which aims to rally young people."
She didn't say that. So, and what?
Yeah. So this is the article. Well, this is the article. So
you have to end when she's done speaking. You have to say end quote.
Yeah. End quote.
There you go. Which basically she said what pretty much the most progressive 73-year-old would say, which is like, listen, I don't really know what's going on, but I don't know how they feel inside. I don't know how I feel. Just let them go do what they're doing.
So
that's all she said.
She added to this, Jude. And this is being, you know, edited out through the lens of the publication. But it said the last quote for Dolly Parton they put in here is, "People say that because you can't really have a great relationship with a woman that I'm not gay, but I have so many gay friends, I accept everybody for who they are."
There you go.
So Dolly Parton is not denying that non-binary or trans people or bisexual exist. She's saying that some people might be, describing their identities as more than what it really is because they're so excited to be part of a movement that is pushing for equality.
And when she backed that up with the specific example of Miley, someone who has clearly gone through some phases.
Yeah.
We'll just put it that way. Whether it was the gay phase that she's doing right now, or when it was the black phase, and when it was the drag queen phase.
Doing the marriage. Do you know who she married?
Oh, that Hemsworth.
Liam Hemsworth. Could you? Oh my God.
So then he's going to have to pull like the scabbard out of her pussy, or however that works when you're like, I don't know. What is he, King Arthur? I don't know what they do. What do the Hemsworths do? Aren't they like Thors or something?
One is Thor.
Oh, it's all the same thing to me.
But he's the younger one. He's really cute.
I don't know about all that.
So all these people are like, how dare you go after Dolly Parton, who gives millions of dollars to charities, who sends out books to needy children. She is, you know, an angel.
Well,
she has given a lot back to LGBT people.
She has Dollywood.
She is Dolly Parton.
Listen, and this is the problem that a lot of non-binary people face, is they consider themselves non-binary, but you know, they let's say, take for example, they look like a woman, they act like a woman, they do nothing to like not appear like a woman.
People's expectations of what a woman looks like.
What a woman looks like, but then yet they want to be considered non-binary because that's how they feel inside, because you don't know what they're feeling inside.
Well, I identify as non-binary, and it's okay to, you know, be seen as male and to present as male and to look like male. And
I
be
feel
like,
inside,
you know,
like I have to shit. What does that change about anything? I don't care about the interior.
Are you going to shit like a man, or are you going to shit like a woman?
Well, I am going to read a book and cross my legs. So.
It's okay to fuck with the system.
I don't know.
We'll never know.
It's okay to fuck with the system. Uh-huh. It's okay to be a gender and sexual anarchist.
Well, because to me, buying into the whole, like, to me, to describe yourself as non-binary is to believe that what they describe as a man or what they describe as a woman is right. And, like, if you just fuck their definitions, well, I'm biologically whatever the fuck I am, and this is what it is, and there's nothing wrong with it.
It's
who I am is a man too, whatever that is, or who I am as a woman too.
For me, understanding this is that we can be tourists in gender expression.
Yeah, plenty of everything.
We can go on vacation on the weekends, or we can live there full time. We, you know, just like you know, sometimes you're moving to a new state. Sometimes you want to take a vacation there to see what it's like.
But you're still a New Yorker even when you go to Iowa. You know, you know.
And sometimes you want to be a full-blooded Iowan.
You bring everything you are wherever you go, and just got to taste every flavor. You know?
You got to taste all the fruit. You got to drink all the wine.
So
you
got to
shake every vine.
There you go.
There's not much time.
So I don't know. It's the point is, like, people who are non-binary don't want to have their expression labeled as a phase or something. You
then
know
stop
I mean?
Listening to 73-year-old people for approval. You're the fucking problem, then. You're in your own way. Stop blaming everyone else for what you choose to read on your fucking phone.
But also, too, I wonder if, you know, for some of those people, maybe they, you know, some of them might be like that and say, like, oh, I'm non-binary, but if they don't really do anything to really change their gender expression, are they really?
Well, I mean, you know? Matt, do you, what is your gender identity?
I'm a man.
I'm a man, baby.
This is my version of a 6 foot tall black man. And if you think,
but you do embrace certain aspects of expression,
absolutely,
that are not associated with masculinity.
But, absolutely, I do wear makeup on stage, and I do like a lot of more feminine things. But if hobbies make you a man or a woman or non-binary, then I guess I was gay when I was 5 because I liked Judy Garland, even though there was no dick in my mouth. Like, if hobbies are defining your gender and your sexuality, I guess the lesbians, everyone is a lesbian who plays soccer. Like, are the straight people right or are they wrong? Because we're kind of confirming them. I don't know.
Well, that you're letting somebody else define you on their terms and not your terms.
Yeah. And I don't think that, I think if you are cool with your identity as a man and you do things that are feminine and you do things that are masculine, that doesn't have to change your identity. That doesn't have to, it's just shit you do. Just because you're a boy who likes to play in makeup doesn't mean that you need tits. If you want tits, cool. But I feel like there are so many people who, because they see that you can really go as far as you can, it's like maybe I have to.
Mark, your sexual experience has been very broad throughout your life.
Well, I would,
but you
say
don't
broad.
Identify as bisexual.
He can spread
you?
His legs very broadly, but like
I like to identify as queer is how I like to, because I don't think
so. The I'm word not, gay doesn't describe you as well.
Well, I also describe myself as a gay man as well, but I also sometimes use both because I feel like, you know, when you think of like just a gay guy, you think of some kind of Abercrombie and Fitch model that's, you know, Spencer
sellouts.
You know, one of those sellouts.
So the description is modeled after what you, how you want people to perceive you.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, and it's also too, I think there's also a political statement with saying that you're queer is there's a certain amount of rebellion against that. And
for me, I'm sorry,
also
I'm sorry.
Too, and so, but it's like, you know, I haven't had sex with a woman in a long time, but I'm not saying that I never would again. You know,
okay,
and also too, when you say bisexual, you're also it's also the binary, and I don't necessarily buy into the binary.
As somebody who has all my life, I've been fighting to be who I am. Well, I'm ready to stop fighting anymore.
Okay, Sophia. Okay,
but this is the thing. It's like your identity is for you to define and to create and shape as you seem necessary. And it can also, with an asterisk, subject to change. And people need to respect that.
Absolutely.
My identity as a Latino person has always been in question throughout my whole life. In Puerto Rico, people are like, you're obviously an American. Over here, you're obviously Puerto Rican. So I'm neither here nor there. And as a gay man, and as a man, and as a non-binary person, and as a drag queen, and as a lot of other, as a queer person too, and as a married person, it's like everybody is thinking to me of how I should look and behave and think about myself, and that is for me to define and create.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to take back those terms like gay and male and say those are not necessarily terms that are necessarily toxic or negative or bad. We've only internalized a lot of prejudice and anger and injustice to see ourselves as unworthy of love and acceptance. And we just need to step back and forgive Dolly Parton if she needs to be forgiven. She doesn't need to be forgiven. But if you feel angry at Dolly Parton, you gotta step back and say, you know, who you are is good enough.
Yes. And I identify as Diana Ross. So I don't know. That's really, I
miss
think that's
Ross if you're nasty.
And you can't look me in the eye.
Ain't no mountain high enough.
Ain't no river deep enough. Ain't no dick big enough to keep me with you.
So Chris Burrows, he's a KTLA anchor in Los Angeles.
Yes.
He's been on TV for the past 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was discovered dead on December 27th. At the Days Inn. I guess he's been married and had a wife and kids and stuff.
Oh, damn.
But he, I guess, apparently liked to party and play. And so he died from a methamphetamine overdose. They also say that he had like hypersensitivity.
Amateurs.
Arteriosclerosis, you know, cardiovascular disease.
Yeah.
So he was susceptible to it. But what I think is interesting is that they mentioned in the newspaper article is that they were found like two rocks of meth mm-hmm. up his butt.
Ah!
You know? And so it's one of those...
Well, how big of a rock?
Well, I'm not sure how big...
You know the stone that they rolled away from Jesus' tomb? Like, roughly that size. Roughly that size.
I'm thinking, like, you know, is it Fruity Pebbles or is it, like, Pop Rocks? Mm-hmm. Or is it, like...
I'm hoping a full boulder.
You know, I'm not sure how big of a rock it would be, but, you know, enough that they had some to take out or something like that, that it was there. But, you know, it's like, you know, the girls would put, like, soak vodka, or even guys soak vodka in tampons, or tampons in vodka, and then put up their ass because they think it's going to be, you know, a better buzz.
And all they get's a chemical burn.
And some people have died from that, even.
Yeah.
Doing that. So it's like, you really have to be careful about what you stick up your butt, especially when it comes to drugs and alcohol, because you can overdose. And
exactly.
I'm not sure if this is the reason why he overdosed. I don't know.
Do you think Jussie Smollett does ecstasy up his ass?
Can you take ecstasy up
you could
ass?
Try.
I think you put it in your
eyeballs. In the 90s, all these, like, you know, vegans were advocating of anal enemas mm-hmm. with coffee and garlic and stuff. Mm-hmm. I tried the garlic enema thing. It was
a
not
garlic enema. Wow.
A vampire has never bit you again, though.
Well, you make a tea with cloves of garlic,
uh-huh.
and then you let that water cool, and you put it in a enema bag, and you put it up your butt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I didn't feel any better. I just felt like I was, like, you know, putting a spaghetti sauce on my butt.
Mm. Which you've done before. So this is, like, definitely deja vu. Like, it was very bad.
But there's a lot of misinformation of how to prepare your butt for anal sex.
Own bottom, don't ask me. I don't know.
But, yeah, and so there's, like, a lot of people who... That we interviewed one guy who said he douched his ass for...
6 hours
for
or something.
6 hours.
A porn star, maybe because he was getting ready to do a porn shoot or something like that. But and the doctor on stage with us was, like, looking like, you don't need to go... In fact,
don't
douche at all. You mm-hmm. know, if you don't have to douche, don't douche if you don't need to.
So the mm-hmm. one thing that actually does help you have a better bottoming experience mm-hmm. is fiber.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they actually sell this as a product, like fiber pills mm-hmm. for gay men to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But actually,
why don't they sponsor you guys?
Because they're
cheap.
They
don't have money.
They need to try.
Mm-hmm. This is a free plug. So Google if you want it, or you can just go buy psyllium husks and put it in with a little bit of orange juice or whatever and drink that.
Don't buy the Metamucil or anything like that. Just get the psyllium husks. That's all you need.
And the idea is that when people talk about, like, oh, I have to eat, you know, Mexican food and before I bottom and watch, remember, is because a lot of food that's rich in carbohydrates or in beans or something like that is going to plug you up.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that you want your digestive system to flow. And so the psyllium husks allows that. Mm-hmm. But if you have a high fiber diet, before you're going to bottom, just, you know, go to use the bathroom.
And then also, some guys just want to stick their dick against a brick of shit. And if you have that experience to give it to them, don't eat any fiber. Just, you know, give it to them. Give it to them for real. That drop of chocolate, just give it to them.
A little flavor.
Exactly.
I want to do a shout out to Kingston, the 12-year-old Akita, who jumped out of its family's van as they were escaping the wildfires, the campfires, 110 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Was finally reunited with the family. They discovered the dog had come back to them. It was found 110 days later.
Wow.
It had been living in the wild. And the amazing thing about this is that the family believes that the dog has been living off of eating skunks, because the dog had used to hunt skunks mm-hmm. and would eat them. So this dog is, like, in the wild, everything's burnt out, hunting skunks, and the dog actually, like, smelled like a skunk when they found it.
That's
so
wild.
It's amazing that a 12-year-old Akita dog could live in the wild for 110 months.
110 days.
Okay. Eating skunk.
Wow. Yeah, our dog. I think of our dog Jesse, not the actor Jesse. Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good boy. If he got lost in the woods, he basically would eat just rotten crap until we found him or mm-hmm. somebody found him. Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be lost. Dogs are amazing.
You know, and I was just thinking about that too when dogs first started coming around humans and stuff like that, because you're probably like, how did that happen? It's probably because they were just eating our shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Dogs will eat shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Their own, yours.
I was talking to a guy who's a dog trainer. He's like, yeah, if a dog has an opportunity to eat a human shit, they'll probably eat it. I'm just kind of like, oh.
Well, you know that story, like when Mark was visiting his mom in Erie, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and it was me and the two guys who are helping set up Cooking with Drag Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Coming soon to YouTube. Feast of Fun. Don't forget.
Girl.
And so Jesse decided to go find Mark.
Mm-hmm. Because I was away and you were here.
Out. snuck out through the back of the house, the back door and the porch, and went, and we were looking for him for like an hour in the middle of the night.
Wow.
And so he came back covered neck to tail in feces. And he's like, look what I found. With literally a shit eating grin. And I was like, oh my God.
I would have gotten a new dog. I would have
time
moved
for
on.
A new dog.
I would have moved on. Anything that gets caked in shit, I just think it's time to get rid of.
I just had to pick him up. Which is, he doesn't like to be picked up, so he's squirming,
and so
covered
the shit's
in
getting
poop.
Everywhere.
Shit is all over the place, and I don't know what animal made this poop. Mm. I didn't want to know. I stuck him. It was like silkwood. I stuck him in the shower, and I'm just hosing him down, and he's just like, "Why are you doing this to me?" And I'm like, "I love this shit. Please don't remove it." Like, he was upset that I was cleaning him. Mm-hmm. He was like, "Finally, have found my true passion is rolling in excrement." Oh.
Which, like, we've all been there. We have all been there. We've all gotten shit dick once or twice and been like, this isn't that bad. Like, you know.
Oh, my God. My dog was like, why, please. You know, it was finally we went to bed around 4 a.m.
Mm.
And I was like, this is what it means. Like, this is what it means to be a parent.
Yeah. And that's why
you love somebody so much or someone that you're willing to hose them down when they're covered of feces at 3 a.m.
Which, I mean, relationships will teach you that. If they drink enough, a good romantic relationship.
Marcus come home sometimes and I had to throw him in the shower too.
Yeah.
I don't drink like as much as I used to.
We could always bring it back.
And
bring it on back.
I just, the hangovers last too many days now. It's just too much.
Are you guys familiar with all these? There's a Golden Girls cruise that's being marketed
apparently.
Now. And I thought, okay, this is going to be full of gays. And I've had like 3 straight guys that I know come up to me and they're like, I've got my tickets. Me and my wife are going on that cruise. And I was
now,
like,
are these straight guys you've beaten off in the locker room?
No, these are heterosexual men.
Okay.
These are not gay. They don't watch, you know. And to me, I forget that, you know, for the vast majority of fans of Golden Girls are heterosexual people, have very little necessarily relationship with gay culture. The only drag queens they know are the drag queens on RuPaul's Drag Race.
If they know Drag Race.
If they know it at all, yeah.
They would probably have a better idea of knowing who Dina Martina was better than Valentina.
Yeah. Like, they're like, Monet Exchange was robbed of a solo win. No justice.
These are
world.
Like all a bunch of old straight white people who were like watching it when it came out in 1985. Yeah. Like, they're all like literally 70. Because they, like, felt liberated in their middle age then. And so now it's just, like, oxygen tanks and just, like, oh.
So do you think, like, that a lot of people are going to get on the Golden Girls cruise? I don't know, like, what exactly are they going to be doing on this cruise? Like, eating cheesecake? All the time?
No one will bottom. What, you could...
Yeah. More fiber
Girls,
people.
Is there a Golden Girls themed restaurant in New York?
It's a pop-up restaurant.
Oh, it was a pop-up?
Yeah, it didn't last.
No.
I'd rather eat at the Sex and the City themed restaurant, which is the prequel to Golden Girls. Just
it's a bar here in Chicago. They have the Sex and the City bar. Yeah.
They have the most amazing cosmopolitans.
I'm sure.
But Sarah Jessica
like
Parker's no longer drinking cosmopolitans. She's drinking beer now.
What? Well, I mean, she's always had a face for beer, so like, I'm glad she's finally like caught up with her.
Be nice to SJP.
Oh,
she's been.
Stop
nice.
It. She looks like a lunch lady in Kansas. I can't fucking handle that face. It's just a ripper. She looks like one of those like Iowa women that give birth to like 8 kids alone in a barn.
She's beautiful on the inside and the outside.
I can't see either of them. I'm out. Count me out.
Listen, I'd rather drink a cosmopolitan than, you know, eat a slice of cheesecake.
Oh, can't relate.
Or how about a cosmopolitan and a slice of cheesecake?
I want both on the lanai.
I want booze and dessert all the time. Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to be happening to these things. That's,
maybe they're just going to show reruns of the Golden Girls, or everybody's just going to dress like an old woman because that's who goes on cruises is old ladies anyway.
Basically.
It's tricky because, like, when I think of, you know, like, when you think about the drag queen cruises, it's pretty obvious you're going to hang out with the drag queens. You get to dress up in drag. You have a sort of like, you know, it's like an expo at sea.
Yeah.
So there's a clear goal there. There's a clear experience. When it's a cruise ship based on a TV show that's not Everyone's been on the dead. Air and all the actors are long gone.
I cannot imagine, though, being a drag queen on one of the drag cruises where people just think they can be your friend because they spent $1,500. Like, oh, I don't want to talk to you. Don't touch me. Who are you? Get away from me with your fucking investment firm. Oh, fuck all of them. No, that I would vomit. I would projectile vomit. It would be so horrific.
Maybe drag isn't the career for you.
No, you have to be so nice to people. And kids, after all, you have to be kid friendly and nice, which doesn't make any sense what drag actually is.
Well, I think for some drag queens, you have to be kid friendly. For other ones, you don't necessarily have to be. Depending on what kind of drag queen you are. There's a drag queen for every little niche.
If 12-year-olds like Katya, you have to be kid friendly. Mm. Like, if your whole thing is that you're a meth head Russian and kids like you, I think you just have to be child friendly. That's just what I've noticed.
So there's this one article that's being spread around the internet. She's a her name's Rachel Kona, and she set out to see if the scent of her vaginal secretions would have men flocking to her.
What?
This is like pheromones on 10.
So Mark in drag as Daphne Dumont made this hilarious video that you can watch on YouTube about how to trap a man. Mm-hmm. And in the video, Daphne says to pee in a mop bucket and then to mop the house with that urine.
I mean, he'll know it's you.
You get those pheromones going.
There you go.
So Rachel wrote that she's somewhat of a vagina experiment connoisseur. And said that scents play a role in attraction. Rachel Kona said, started off her uncharted territory and only using her vaginal juices to make a perfume that would make her irresistible.
How good does she think her pussy is?
That's real good.
Like, has every guy that's fucked her come in 30 seconds, or is she just like a narcissist? I want to know. Like, has anyone ever been eating her out and been like, oh, the way this pussy stank? Like, what? I don't, what gave her the idea? I'm so hurt.
What I'm not clear on is, did it work or did it not?
It clearly didn't if she had time to write the article. If it worked, she'd get in fucked 3 different times a day.
But you know, Gwyneth Paltrow is going to be making a perfume any moment now.
You know her pussy fucking smells like vinegar and saltines. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Isn't her Goop. Website Goop, right?
Yeah.
And what is up, Goop? And Monique Hart kept saying Goop over and over and over again. I'm like,
it's a funny word.
Are they working with each other?
There's a slang. Don't you see Peaches Crisis coming to Chicago this weekend? And she was in the in San Francisco
on
like
TV.
Daytime news.
Yeah,
in full
I
drag.
Messaged her. I said, "I see you think with that Goop." I said, "Quit trying to make Goop happen. It's not going to happen because she's doing that mean gaze thing."
Yeah,
coming up here,
yeah. Right? And so they were talking about terminology, and one of them is, I guess, what is gooped in drag terms?
It means just being flabbergasted.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know. So. I don't know, sure if that's tied to Gwyneth Paltrow or.
And I guess goop is like somebody was saying it was an old school term that people used back in the day. It's always back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So I don't. I thought maybe she's working with Gwyneth and she's like, keep plugging my website.
Because if you're gonna say I am gooped, I think that's something you'd say right after sex and you're bottoming. I wouldn't think you'd say that. Be like, I'm shocked. Like that doesn't seem to go together with me.
Mm.
I don't know.
Would you wear a perfume that? I mean, because if you could sell this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, as a you know person, you can who may not necessarily secrete those scents normally.
Oh, he gets straight trade.
Straight trade, yeah.
Oh, you got him thinking something else is down there.
I know that Heclina's thinking about buying a bottle.
I just attract bi guys anyway off the sound of my voice. Like they kind of like anyone who has enough mother issues and she smoked, like they're kind of already down with me.
Because you sound like Amanda Lepore.
Because I sound like their stepmom that hit them all too hard and put the cigarette out on her. Like, you know, because it's a smoker voice, but it's like mother love. And so, like, I don't know. I don't think I'd need that to get straight trade. I get it on my own.
And one more news item on a too hot for prime time sister.
Ooh,
Tia. What? And Tamara Mowry drink each other's breast milk.
Okay. That's a little bit more daytime TV.
So you guys know Tia and Tamara Mowry as the stars of the, I guess it was Disney Channel, Sister.
I don't remember. That was like mid-90s.
So they're all grown up, grown women now. And Tamara Mowry says that she's been drinking her sister Tia's breast milk say as a way to combat illness.
Wow.
They love each other too much. You don't need to be that twinning, you know.
So Tia was complaining about having a cold, and Tia offered her sister Tamara some of her breast milk.
Why don't you just tell her to suck your titty if you're a real one?
So my sister, this is a quote here. So my sister is desperate for some healing. She is sticky poo, and I sent her an article on how breast milk has healing properties. And she's like, okay, I'll drink your breast milk. I mean, she's my twin. Why wouldn't I give her some of my titty juice?
Well, it's one of those juices that will pass HIV.
There you go.
Be careful, girls.
Mm-hmm.
I love them.
There aren't that many juices for that, but you have to have the short list memorized. Semen and breast milk and blood.
People always forget the breast milk.
You know.
Vaginal juices.
Because I'm out here sucking pregnant women titties just right and left, just praying something good happens. So, like, thank you for reminding me.
Have you ever tasted breast milk as an adult?
No. Or as a child? No.
You can buy breast milk ice cream.
That's disgusting. This is a culture that worships fucking children. Everything's about babies and breast milk and a play center and fuck that. No, it's disgusting.
Listen, if you put chocolate on it, I'd taste it.
Oh.
Well, here's a question, guys and girls and gals and non-binary people.
Gays and theys.
And aliens of another planet and consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
If you were presented with human female breast milk ice cream, would you have a taste?
Totally.
So one, Mark, yes.
Yeah, I'm on prep. I'm invincible.
So you think.
I quit taking mine because I'm in a solid relationship. So I'm no longer invincible.
That's what happens.
You know, 60% of new infections are when people think that they're in a monogamous relationship.
You know, he is such a fucking hypochondriac. Before we were together, like when he was single and like when we were like in our in-between phase, he literally would get tested between every single human being. He's like full on terrified of everything. If anyone gets the HIV, it'll be me from being a hoe, getting it from
him. One of you bitches gets on PrEP. Come on.
Yeah, I'm like, get on PrEP.
Why?
It's like birth control for gays.
But if no one's fucking anybody else, ¿qué es el punto?
Honey.
Would you drink, would you have a taste of breast milk ice cream?
No, none of
all
that.
All it takes is for one argument. He storms out and meets somebody else, and then the next thing you know, and you just say, oh, we got back together. It was just a little fight.
But let's be clear here. You know. If you become HIV positive, it's still not the end of the world.
No, it's still not the end of the world.
So, love each other. Mm. Take care of each other.
You trying to pay for my medication?
I'm trying to pay for mine.
Into my financial world. Fuck that.
That is the thing. I was like, I got the bill for...
You have to do the, what do you call it? The gaining access or whatever. They have programs for it. Especially because you're a young person.
Mm-hmm.
They'll pay for it.
I ain't going to be young forever. They're going to be like, hey, your old ass can die. They're just going to let you go.
They do.
That is true. So
you just be like, oh, you're 27 now. Oops.
And part of it is like, they're not taking the function that, you know, a lot of HIV transmission can happen intergenerationally. You know, like people in their 20s can have sex with somebody in their 50s.
Yeah, most of the time, that's how it happens.
Got an amen up in here. Hey, folks, we rely on your financial support to do this one-of-a-kind, fabulous podcast, Feast of Fun, that we know you love. Right now, we are trying to raise funds to replace our computer and some of our audio components. One of our microphones is broken, and our audio interface needs to be replaced as well. Go to GoFundMe.com/Feast of Fun Computer and pony up some money. Auntie honey, even just a little tip in our tip jar, give us the full 8 inches.
Even $1, $5, $10, $100, whatever you can do, we much appreciate.
And if all you can do is send nudes to the Feast of Fun Instagram account as a contribution, listen, we're all grateful.
I'll share it with everybody. Sven Schoengarth, he's an artist to artist. You can follow him on Instagram, SJKS. He said, don't stop. So much inspiration from one of my favorite podcasts in the world. Check out me, sjks.artist on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous.
Tad says, don't kill the next computer with porn.
Ah! It wasn't porn, honey. Unless you consider this podcast porn.
Richie says, love the show, guys. And Roberto says, you guys are the best. You have introduced me to great people who are doing amazing work in the world. Keep doing what you're doing. I don't want to think of what my life would be without the podcast and you too. Lots of love and $30.
Gracias, Roberto.
Yes, honey.
Era mi favorito.
And Leland says, keep up the excellent work, Mark and Fausto.
Yay. Let's give him a little chime there. Can you do so many beautiful sounds with your voice?
I really can. It's
can you give me a little moan, like a moan that
do you want like reflects? A deep growl?
Yeah.
Like the like that Christina Aguilera trashy shit that you love so much? Yeah, yeah.
Do Mariah Carey sing a high note, but she's also got a cock in her mouth?
That there you go. There you go. There you go. Just a sliver of sound and mostly lean forward. That's mostly
Yeah. What do you think she got? What did she get? Like $5 million?
Because she said, I talk about this in my act. Literally, she sued her ex-billionaire boyfriend for $5 million for wasting her time because she decided to move for him.
Maxine Waters has nothing on her.
Oh, right? My like, God. Reclaiming my check. Literally, she got $5 million. That is the most light-skinned thing anyone has ever done in their entire life. It is absolutely insane. And she got to keep the ring. So she really got $10 million out of
really?
Him. Because the ring's huge.
Wow.
Ring's huge. Because if you notice this with black divas, they always fuck like rich white European billionaires, Mariah Carey, Diana Ross. Like their wallets are heavy, but their children are light. It's a very it's a very interesting combination.
Oh, Matt Brown, you are amazing.
Thank you, baby.
God's gift.
I love you too.
We could have called nickname you the gift.
Please.
The gift.
El regalo. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're the gift to humanity, honey.
Thank you, baby. I have so much fun here with both of you.
I'm glad you could be here. I'm glad you could help us talk about Jesse
in a meaningful way.
In a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
Not a reactionary way. Oh, one thing we have to say, though, is we do have a porn star friend who's been on the podcast before, and he says...
And he'd like to marry me?
No, he doesn't want to marry you, but he did say that he heard from a friend of his who also is a sex worker, and that sex worker says that he was in Jesse's apartment like an hour before the attacks.
Bring the receipts.
So bring the receipts, Billy Santoro.
Can you imagine being that hot and still having to pay for pussy, though? Because Jesse's really attractive. If he didn't have $10, he'd be a really good-looking guy.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine him to pay for pussy at that point in my life. That'd be so sad.
You pay for the convenience from what I hear.
Grindr. It's okay to pay for sex.
It is.
And go out to grab yourself a foot long in the middle of the night and get attacked. Just because you had sex with a sex worker beforehand does not negate the possibility that you might have been attacked.
But that also means that that's probably why he got attacked. He was all relaxed because he just nutted. And like he's just like, oh, who cares about the wind? And then he just went into the polar vortex and got robbed. Makes sense to me.
And I was like, Jesse, I've been watching your show on television. It is terrible. You are a gay, famous celebrity.
Which makes Jesse come. That's what he needs when you're talking to him. It's like, your show's shit, your asshole's loose. I hate you.
We are going to make America great again. And here is a noose and some bleach for your skin.
There you go. Because you should die, but be white.
I don't want this to be true. I'm just going to say this. I want to live in a world where Jesse Smollett?
Mm-hmm. Smollett.
Smollett is innocent.
I want to live in a different world, period.
Neither option's good, right? Neither option's
like,
good.
Honestly.
We just aren't on the winning on this one.
No,
this is a difficult thing. I think the solution here is to speak up about injustice and violence wherever it can happen, but be objective about the details and make your own decisions and don't try to jump on bad ones.
Or if you're a gay biracial guy and you're rolling on E, don't get a hooker and go to Subway.
And make sure if you're getting attacked that those two attackers are not as attractive as you are.
Mm-hmm. Get ugly Nigerians. You'll have to dig hard because they're only like four. But like everyone in that country's fucking hot. Everyone.
Why are they so sexy in Nigeria?
Because Kenya, Eastern Africa is where like humanity started. And we're the first people that God put on Earth. Okay. So like that whole area of the world is just the finest that anyone's ever going to see because it's original thought. It's original creation. It's the crescent horn, okay?
So the pretty people don't make it too far.
They shouldn't.
But they say everybody left Africa and then some went back.
I
don't know if you know that.
I think everyone stayed. I think there are communities that have been there for 250,000 years.
So it's like Wakanda, but for pretty people instead of technology.
Mm-hmm. Because black people are better than all of you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much,
you're welcome.
Matt.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your humor, Matt.
I will always have my fist up. Malcolm X was light skin. I can do anything.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.